in their mass to say transubstantiation. They don't say, they use actually use the word.
Hmm.
Yeah, transubstantiation.
Yeah, it's very deep rooted, and it's at the heart of Catholic theology, really. So, but that came basically because Latin. The office of the Pope, we studied last week how it grew. Kissing the Pope's feet came in 709 AD when Justinian II, the emperor, kissed Pope Constantine's feet in 607. Then there was the veneration of Mary and the saints, 788 AD. Veneration of the cross, images, and relics, 788. And Frederick the Wise had collected over 5,000 relics. And by touching those relics or seeing them, you could get time off from purgatory. So this grew and was a big thing at the time of Luther. The blessing of bells in 965 AD, fasting, Lent, Advent, Good Friday, date of Christmas, all of these came from papal decrees. And that's not all bad, but it's kind of good to know when it originated. Then holy water. Leo IV added holy water to part of the Mass, and that came in 1009. It became an official doctrine. The celibacy of priests, it had been suggested centuries before. Some followed it, some didn't. It was not obligatory, but in 1079, it became obligatory. And now you have enforced celibacy. And in my opinion, enforced celibacy has produced all the terrible things that have happened in the Catholic Church. Because if you don't have the gift of celibacy, and you're just, as Paul puts it in Corinthians, better to marry than to burn. But if you're burning sexually, and you can't marry, you know you're going to have big problems. Then the rosary beads in 1090. Indulgences, and this is so big as it relates to Luther. But it didn't come in until 1190 AD. The sacrifice of the Mass. It was just a service, and then it became a Mass, and then it became the sacrifice of the Mass. But that did not become official until 1215 AD at the Fourth Lateran Council. Now, the sacrifice of the Mass has huge implications. It means that Jesus didn't pay a complete price. He didn't make a complete sacrifice. The priest has got to keep offering it. And because hoc est corpus meum, because it's real bread and the real body of Christ and real blood, then it becomes very superstitious. The church used to have infant communion as well as infant baptism. And then all of a sudden, they stopped infant communion. And I was very interested in this to see, why did they stop it? Well, they stopped it because a little child could easily spill the blood of Jesus. And then what do you do? How do you clean up the pew or the floor if a child spills the blood of Jesus? So this had all kinds of ramifications. Confession to the priests, 1215. the cup withheld from the laity, 14:14, and that again had to do with the spilling of the blood of Jesus. And then the doctrine of purgatory did not come in officially until 14:38. Now, then I drew another line, 15:17, and everything after that was later developments within the Catholic doctrine.
How could you have the celibate indulgences before you had the doctrine of purgatory? Celibate,
well, okay. There's a big difference between an official doctrine and what people believed before. And they were told about purgatory, they believed it, but it was not part of the official doctrine until then. And then tradition was held equal with the Bible, 1545 in the Council of Trent. The apocryphal books were added to the canon in 1546 at the Council of Trent. And it's very interesting there. The Protestants, Luther and his followers, were saying, Scripture alone. So the Catholic Church said, how do we counter that? So here's how they countered it. Yeah, you say Scripture alone, but you don't even recognize all Scripture. The books that you call Apocrypha are really Scripture. So the apocryphal books were made Scripture at the Council of Trent as trying to counteract the Reformation position of Scripture alone.
What does Apocrypha mean?
It means a forgery or something less than authentic. And then the Immaculate Conception of Mary was pronounced in 1854 by Pius IX. The infallibility of the Pope was passed in 1870, and a lot of the representatives did not come to that meeting. And a lot who came walked out in protest. They said, this is not the truth. And then the Assumption of Mary in 1950, proclaimed by Pius XII. So this is how it all developed.
What's the definition of mass?
Mass would be
I just looked it up.
Okay.
And it said, because that was something that I was very curious of. It said it's just what you said is the transubstantiation of Christ. It's the sacrifice of what Christ did on the cross every time. That's what they said the term in the Liturgy of the Mass. Liturgy of the Mass. That's what it said. That's what the definition was.
All right. That it is.
They call it bloodless sacrifice.
Yes. That's what it, exactly.
But they are offering a sacrifice. And the book of Hebrews is so clear that Christ offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And it's just so wrong to say, no, we have to offer that sacrifice again. So that's how it all developed. All right, next week we're going to look at who was Frederick the Wise? He was Luther's protector, but I want you to know a little bit about Frederick, and then we're going to move quickly into who was Martin Luther. So we start that next Sunday. And don't forget, the film is Sunday night, October 29th at 7 o'clock. And after you've studied this, I think you will understand the film so much better. So let's look forward to seeing that film together. You're dismissed.